Psalm 29 is one of certainly my favorite psalms, and because of the subject matter, you're going to see the phrase, the voice of God, several times. And so if you'll notice what it says about the voice of God, I want to preach a message entitled, Let God Speak. Let God Speak. Psalm 29, let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 29, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf and discovereth the forest, and in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you would please meet with us. And dear Lord, there's really one purpose that I believe you sent this preacher to the pulpit before, and that's to plead with the people to just let you speak, to just listen to what you have to say, to hear the voice of the Lord. I'm not sure all that is needed in America to bring a revival, but I know this, it will never happen until people decide once again to let God speak and to hear his voice. So I pray, Lord, that you would stir within us a desire, dear God, to quiet our hearts and quiet our souls and to hear you like we never have before. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Seven times in this amazing psalm, we find the phrase, the voice of the Lord. Numerology teaches us that seven is the number of God, the number of completeness, the number of perfection. The word voice here means to call aloud. The Hebrew word for Lord here is Jehovah, or the self-existent one. So seven times we are reminded that the self-existent one cries aloud, the self-existent one calls to men, the self-existent one is speaking. Let's let God speak. We learn several things about the voice of God in this psalm. In verse number 3, we learn the voice of God encompasses the earth. It is universal. It calls to all men. In verse number 4, we learn the voice of God is powerful. There is no earthly equivalent. It was the voice of God that spoke and worlds were created. All that we now see is a result of the voice of God. Also, verse 4 teaches us the voice of God is majestic. Was it not John the Revelator who spoke these words? I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, and I turned to see the voice that spake to me. We learn also in verse 5 that the voice of God can bring instant judgment. It breaketh the cedars. All it would take is one word from the lips of God, and this world would cease to exist. A man's soul is called to judgment with one word from the lips of God. In verse 7, we learn that the voice divides. Listen to this. It's good that we're reminded of it. The words of the self-existent one has always made men choose one direction or another. It divides nations. It divides people. It divides families. It makes us choose to believe or disbelieve. It makes men choose to obey or disobey. The voice of God commands, therefore it divides. In verse number 8, we see the voice of God shaking the wilderness. It sends the tremors of warning to a world gone mad. The earth is being shaken. Folks, have you noticed that? The earth is being shaken as never before. Men would like to point at excuses like global warming, but I'm telling you, you talk to the folks in this room that are in their 70s and 80s and 90s, and what we're seeing happen on this earth that are unexplainable, except pointing to the hand of God, the things that we're seeing in the matter of the cosmos and earthquakes and tornadoes and floods. God, I believe His voice is shaking the earth as it has never been shook in some time. The voice of God is calling out to men to turn, warning us of wrath to come. In verse number 9, we see the voice of God still commands His universe. Think about this, by the way. Animals will heed His voice when they're directed by His words. Birds still hear His voice and obey. The Bible tells us the trees clap their hands at His words and the flowers blossom at His command. It seems like that all creation heeds God but one. All creation heeds God but one. The hearts hear. The hearts hear. They hear the voice of God. But seems like the heart of man is the one exception to that rule. This morning I want to preach on this subject. Let God speak. Let God speak. Let's first of all, let me establish this. If the Bible teaches us anything, it teaches us that since the fall of man, God has been trying to speak to mankind. Where do you read that, preacher? In the very first account of God interacting with men in Genesis chapter 3, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And by the way, all mankind fell into sin. The eyes of both of them were opened and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. And men has always tried to attempt to cover their own sin. But wait a minute, man can't take care of their sin. Man can't remove their shame. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. Watch this. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" Here's the voice of God. He's speaking. Hey, Adam, listen. He's calling you. And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." It's always been the tendency of fallen men to hide from the voice of God, to turn from it instead of to it, to ignore God instead of letting Him speak. God called and man hid. That's what we see here in Genesis chapter 3. God called and man feared. Guilt turns us from His voice when the cure for our guilt is found in the words of His voice. Did you hear that? Guilt turns us from His voice when the cure for our guilt is found in the words of His voice. Yet, you know what? God is faithful. God continues to call. It was the voice of God that told Cain, It was the voice of God that told him when he brought to the Lord an unacceptable sacrifice that there was still a chance for atonement, but unto Cain and to the offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth and his countenance fell. And the Lord said, listen, he's speaking again, and the Lord said unto Cain, "Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door." You look at that word sin, it's talking about a sin offering. There was a lamb outside of his door. He said, "Listen, you tried to bring me the work of your own hands. That's never acceptable as a sacrifice for sin, and it's still not today." You see, folks, the sin of Cain is prevalent in our world today. God said, "Bring me a blood sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin." Cain said, "I'll tell you what, I'm going to work with my hands and produce something, the fruit of the ground, and I'm going to bring that, and I want you to accept that as good enough." But you know what? The works of our hands are never good enough to pay for our sin. And so, wasn't it the voice of God that was telling Cain, "Listen, you brought an unacceptable sacrifice, but there's still a chance for atonement. There's still hope. A sin offering lies at the door. Just bring me what I've asked you to bring me, an acceptable sacrifice." But we know that Cain, in his stubbornness and haughtiness and his wrath against God, not only refused to bring a blood sacrifice, but he took that hatred and animosity towards God and he took it out on the one who was doing right, Abel, who did bring the blood sacrifice. I won't belabor this point, but folks, you watch. Religions that have taught a work salvation has always persecuted religions that preach salvation by grace through faith. They always have. So the voice of God speaks again to Cain. Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. As I am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. It was the voice of God that spoke to Cain. The voice of God. It was the voice of God that protested the demise of godliness and the spread of wickedness in Genesis chapter 6. It was the voice of God that spoke to Noah because he walked with God. And by the way, he was willing to listen to God, so he spoke to him. Because he would hear, he did hear. He chose to live justly and perfect in a world gone mad in wickedness and evil. The voice of God told him this, build an ark. Build an ark of gopher wood. By the way, a man heard the voice of God and obeyed the voice of God. And because of that, he survived the flood. And because of that, we're here today. Thank God for Brother Noah. Noah, you know what he did? He let God speak. Cain heard the voice of God, but he ignored it. Noah let God speak and he listened to it. The voice of God spoke to a young husband named Abram in Genesis chapter 12. The voice made some amazing promises, really promises that I'm not sure Abraham could comprehend. It called this young man to leave his country and his kindred. It asked him to do this by faith, to begin a journey without knowing what the destination would be. You say God's voice sometimes asks you to do something like that? Yep, for without faith it's impossible to please God. Sometimes God just says, up, get thee out. Well, where am I going? I'll show you as you go, but get thee out. He directed him on a journey. He didn't tell him the destination. He didn't tell him how long it would take to get there or which way he would go. But Abraham heard the voice of God. Watch this. Watch. Are you listening, young people? He heard the voice of God. And like Noah, he decided to obey the voice of God. Because of that, God counted him as righteous. Even now, he is known as as faithful Abraham, the father of the faithful. But all he had on that day when he heard the voice was a voice. Well, I'm hoping this sinks into you. I don't want to lose you young men, but I'm hoping, is there a young lady that's getting this? Somewhere along the line, God's voice comes and speaks to a young person, speaks to somebody's heart. But you know what? You can have a Cain reaction to the voice of God and forever live under the curse of God. Or you can have a Noah or an Abram reaction to the voice of God. Do you understand what an honor it is for God to speak to you? That he would take the time and interest and love you so much that he would want to communicate with you. What a wonderful thing when God speaks to a man. The voice of God called a young man watching his father-in-law's sheep on the backside of the desert. This young man once lived in Pharaoh's house, the adopted grandson of the most powerful monarch of Egypt. Now a young Moses stands before a burning bush and the voice of God calls to him, shoes off, on his face he listens and his life is never the same. A young general takes a walk into the hills overlooking the mighty city of Jericho. His mission is military, his purpose is to devise a strategy of attacking a city protected by mammoth walls. But in the hills he hears a voice. The voice declares the speaker to be the captain of the host of God. Again, a man falls on his knees, listens to the voice of God, and victory is assured. Soon walls come tumbling down. Listen, sooner or later in your life, God's going to come along. He's going to try to speak to you. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with that voice? Hey, why don't you let God speak? Hey, we talk enough. We always make sure we have our say. Isn't it time to let him have his say? What an opportunity, what a privilege when God speaks to a man. Are you listening? A young man has been delivered to the temple. He's born to a mother who a few years before prayed on the steps of this temple. He's born to a barren woman who could have no children. He now has been given back to God. She made a vow, the mother made a vow, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you. So she kept her vow and he now serves Eli, the high priest of Israel. But in the night, a voice calls his name, Samuel. Samuel! Not once or twice, but three times his voice returns. At first it confuses the young boy, but finally he figures it out. With the help of Eli, he figures it out. And he gives the right answer. Speak, for thy servant heareth. And from that encounter comes the greatest high priest in the history of God's nation. Are you listening to the voice of God? Do you know how many older folk I could bring across here, young people? And I'm not just preaching to young people, because God doesn't just speak to us in our youth, but I'm going to tell you something. How we react to God's voice in our youth goes a long way to determine where we end up in our latter years. You know, I could bring many, many a person, if they'd be willing to do it and testify, it could come to this platform and say, when I was a young man, God's voice was strong and powerful in my life, but instead of responding to it in obedience, I walked away from it and ignored it. And young people, I've got a lifetime of regret, a life full of regret. If God's speaking to you, listen to it. Let God speak. Let God speak. A young farmer threshes wheat behind the winepress of his family farm. Israel is under bondage and must pay tribute to a heathen nation. A voice calls to this farmhand, calls him a mighty man of valor. He looks around like, who are you talking to? This voice directs him. Watch this, young man. This voice directs him and gives him instruction to go to his father's house and destroy his father's false idols. Directs him to summon an army. Directs him to whittle that army down to 300 men. Gideon hears the voice of the Lord, obeys the voice of the Lord, not once, not twice, but three times, and becomes one of the greatest generals ever to lead the nation of Israel from the iron chains of servitude to liberty and to godliness. What's wrong with America? Watch this. People are not letting God speak. They're not listening to the voice. If they do hear it, they're not obeying the voice. A young man watches sheep for his father in the hills overlooking Bethlehem. By the way, have you noticed how many times God comes to young men and young ladies in their solitude? When they're alone? Do you like being alone? Does it drive you nuts to be alone? Does quiet drive you nuts? In this technology, it seems like people always have to have something blaring, something going on, something turned on, the TV's on as loud as it can get, the iPod's in their ear, the radio's on, somebody's pecking away at a computer, somebody's talking on a cell phone, good night, no wonder we never hear him speak. Say, preacher, what should I get out of this message? I don't know. The Holy Spirit, I think, can direct you in that. But let me just make a suggestion. If it's been a while since you heard the voice of God, maybe it's just time to go find a quiet place this week. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing. Your preacher, I could really use some direction right now. Well, then unplug. Unplug. Maybe it'd be a good thing, gentlemen, to just set the alarm clock a half hour early and leave the house and go to some little quiet park and walk through God's creation and just listen for, let's say, God, listen, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of talking. I just need to spend some time listening. I need you. I need your help. It seems like God always finds that one who's willing to be by themselves and quiet their heart and tune their ear and want to hear him. I think God's eyes still are searching for that young man or that young lady that will listen, that will hear, that want to hear and want to obey. And if you have that heart, I'm predicting great things for your life. Great things for your life. I could go on. Not all of them in the Bible are success stories. Jonah heard the voice of God and fled from it. Till he was trapped for 3 days in the belly of the well, where finally, reluctantly, he listened. Isn't it a shame what God sometimes has to do to us to get us just to hear him? In all times, you can go throughout history, folks, biblical history, human history. You know what? You'll never see a place, you'll never find a time or an age where God's voice is still. He's always tried to speak to men. Sometimes he used prophets, sometimes he spoke from heaven, sometimes the voice came in the night watches, in the dreams of kings and princes, but you know what? It always came, and finally, he sent his son. And you know what he called his son? His word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The word, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, God's Son, the Son of God, God the Son, Savior of the universe, is sent down to this earth. And you know what he does while he's here? He speaks. He speaks. And thank God some listen, but the honest truth is we are given in this portion of Scripture the fact that most didn't. Most ignored him. Some followed and challenged him, wanted to argue with him, tried to catch him in his words. Some ridiculed the King of Glory. They rejected the voice of God. Seems like this world hasn't changed all that much. Preacher, where are you going with all of this? What's the purpose of this journey that we're taking through the Scriptures? I want to tell you, I want to explain to you this morning that there's nothing that our nation needs more right now than to just quiet its heart and listen and seek the voice of God once again. I want to say this. There's nothing wrong with this nation that couldn't be fixed if we'd decide once again just to listen to the voice of God, just to let God speak. I'm tired of listening to politicians. Let's hear God. I'm tired of hearing opinions. Let's hear God. I'm tired of reading whatever everybody's putting on Facebook. Where's the voice of God? Hey, can I encourage you to do something? Let God speak. Let God speak. Let's listen to his voice. Let me point out some things to you this morning that will help you. Number one, let God speak to you through the pages of his holy word. Preacher, I'd love to hear the voice of God. I'd like to be able to be impacted by the words of God. Here they are right here in your King James Bible. You see, America has refused to pick up the word of God and just read it. You know that if you'd read the Bible for just 10 minutes a day, read through it just 10 minutes a day, you can read through the Bible in a year. It takes 70 hours to read through the Bible out loud at an average reading rate. 70 hours to read it out loud at an average reading speed. You know what? That breaks down to about 10 minutes a day if we just read the Bible, Do you listen daily to the voice of God as you read your Bible? Why is it that we will spend an hour a day listening to the voice of ESPN or listening to the voice of Dr. Phil or Rush Limbaugh or CNN News? Why is it that we will spend over an hour a day reading from our computer screens the mindless dribble of people's Facebook postings, but we can't find time to pick up the inerrant, inspired, preserved, and precious words of God and fully focus on them for just 10 minutes a day? Let God speak. Let him speak. Set the alarm clock a little early. Open the word of God. Just let him speak to you. Those are his words. This is the word of God. So let him speak through the pages of his word. Number two, let God speak to you through the preaching of faithful men of God. America has forsaken the local assembly. Preaching is considered a waste of time by the average American. Some even would suggest it a foolish waste of time. And yet 1 Corinthians 1:18 says this, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Titus chapter 1, I love the first three verses. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Notice this. But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. I want to share something with you folks. Listen to me. I want to congratulate you. And I know I'm preaching to people that are here. But thank you for taking time to come and listen to the preaching of the word of God. It's not a waste of time. And it's not a foolish waste of time. It's how in this time God has chosen to manifest his word. I can read the Bible and I'll get a certain amount out of it, but I'm going to tell you something. I listen to a lot of preaching because it is amazing how many times in the preaching of the Word of God, God gives me things, sometimes closely associated with the subject matter, sometimes a side thought. But I can tell you, I can listen to a message and God will give me thought after thought, sometimes just reminding me something I already know that I just need to be reminded of, sometimes teaching me something from a new perspective, a new angle that I'd never seen before. You know what? I want to be under the influence of faithful preachers as they handle the Bible and preach the words of God. You got to be careful, Christians, that you do not begin to hang around people who begin to marginalize the importance of the church and church attendance. Please listen to what I have to say. It was Jesus Christ that spoke the church into existence. It was God that outlined the way a church is to function, and those and the office of a bishop or a pastor and the idea of deacons in a congregation. God came up with that. Don't marginalize in your life or your children's life the importance of the local assembly. Why don't people come to church, preacher? Or if they do go to church, why do they go, watch this, why do they go to a quote unquote church where the voice of God is not heard? Where the words of God are never proclaimed? Well, because we are in the last times. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we see that this was prophesied. I charge thee therefore before God and our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts will they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn their ears away from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And the honest truth is, watch this, most people either don't go to church or they go somewhere where they can hire somebody to tell them what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. Most people don't want to hear the voice of God. Hey, let God speak. Let me ask you a question. Are you letting God speak this morning while the preacher's preaching? Is your mind a million miles away? It's important as you listen to the preaching of the Bible not to just listen with your physical ear, because I do want you to hear what I have to say. But folks, more importantly, listen to what God is saying while I'm speaking. Because the Holy Spirit of God, watch this, the Spirit of God will partner with the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God to teach us things and help us in our Christian life. Don't miss the voice of God. Let God speak to you through the pages of His Holy Word. Let God speak to you through the preaching of faithful men of God. Number three, let God speak to you about your eternal destination. Let God speak. Let Him speak to you. If you're lost today, if you're without Christ, Christ is your Savior. If you've never been saved, I promise you something. If you will listen this morning, God's Spirit will speak to you today. John 16, verse 7, this is why the Holy Spirit was sent. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for me that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. I think one of the most wonderful things that a person that begins to go to church begins to discover, especially if you haven't had much church background, is how God will speak to your heart if you're not saved. A lot of times when a lost person comes to church, they come out of curiosity. They come because somebody that loved them invited them. They come just because, I don't know, they decided to come. They can't even tell you a reason why. But as they sit there for the first time in their life, with a man preaching from a pulpit, something begins to happen in their heart that's never happened before. And let me explain what's going on so that you know. The Holy Spirit of God is interested in you. God loves you. Jesus died for you. And you know what? All of heaven is trying to communicate to you the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God loved you even though you're a sinner. And God sent Jesus to die for our sin But he didn't stay dead. He was buried and rose again, and now he offers to us the gift of eternal life. And you know what? Every time I start speaking the gospel and explaining the gospel right now, the Holy Spirit gets real busy communicating to people who aren't saved, saying, hey, listen to this. Hey, this is for you. Hey, you need that. How many of you that are saved would give testimony to what the preacher's saying, that it's true? Preacher, God spoke to my heart while I was lost. God spoke to my heart in a powerful way while I was lost. God communicated to me while I was... Listen, if it happened to all these folks, that's what's happening to you. God works in the same way. The Holy Spirit amens the preaching of the gospel. He always amens it. The preaching of the Bible, especially when it comes to the matters of eternity, let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit gets real busy during those times. So does the devil, by the way. So does the devil. Just as the Holy Spirit of God is trying to capture your attention and speak to your heart and cause you to understand that there is a need to address this matter of salvation. It's amazing how many times when the preacher begins to preach on salvation, the devil gets busy trying to distract. All of a sudden, that's the time your neighbor wants to talk to you, or that's the time that, you know what, somebody gets up and goes to the bathroom, or that's the time that somebody drops a Bible, or that's the time, and next thing you know, the devil's just working, because you know what, he don't want you to listen, but listen, let God speak. Let him speak. Now listen, I'm just going to ask you to do something. Everybody look right up here, let me ask you, everybody participate in this, and if you're already saved, great, but if you're not saved especially, listen to me. Would you right now listen to the voice of God? Are you saved? Well, everybody kind of thinks I am. It don't matter what everybody else thinks. Are you saved? Well, preacher, can you answer that for me? No, but I know that there's a God that can. Yes, sir. And if you'll listen right now, he'll talk to you. Amen. Well, I'm not sure I'm saved. Is that what he's telling you, that you're not sure? Is he saying, hey, that's something you better look at, you better examine? Is he saying, yes, you're one of my children, or no, I don't think you are? I mean, listen, if we'll listen to God, he'll communicate to us. If we ask him, God, am I on my way to heaven? I mean, ask him. If you're not sure about it, in the quiet, Lord, am I on my way to heaven? Holy Spirit of God, the Bible says that he's the one that bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. It's the Spirit that beareth witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. So you know what? If you're saved, the Holy Spirit comes and confirms that. He bears witness with your spirit. Yes, you're one of my children. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're not, he'll bring great conviction. He'll bring great conviction. Thank God for the convicting power of God. I've watched it over the years. One of the things that, you know what? If you're not called to preach, and that's fine. But if you're not, one of the things that you probably are not as blessed to see, although I'm sure that you've seen it some, there's nothing more amazing than watching during the delivery of a salvation message to watch the Holy Spirit of God powerfully begin to work, I mean visibly work in people's life. And folks, listen to me, that is a gift, that is a blessing. You should be joyful that he cares enough to do that in your life. And if God is convicting your heart about your need of salvation, listen, what about heaven? What about hell? What about eternity? Do you know for sure that if you died right now, you're on your way to heaven? Listen, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. Let God speak. I'm not trying to talk into anything or out of anything. I'm saying let God speak. Okay? Mankind might try to talk you into it. Mankind might be able to talk you out of it. I don't know, but let God speak. He'll tell you the truth. He'll bear witness with your heart. Let God speak to you when it comes to about your eternal destination. Last of all, let's speak to Christians for a minute. Let God speak to you about growing as a Christian. Let God speak. If you're saved today, then you know what? That Holy Spirit that used to convict you from the outside in now lives inside of you and speaks to you. I trust him. I trust his work. I trust his faithfulness. See, I believe with all my heart that if I will be faithful to preach the word of God, the Holy Spirit will be faithful to deal with the hearts of his children. And he knows where you're at. I don't know where you're at. And he knows everything that's going on. I don't know. Thank God he sometimes becomes that comforter to come and encourage you during discouraging times. And most of us have felt that at times. And it's a blessing to have that. Sometimes he's that one that comes along as our tutor and teaches us something new from the Bible that we need to get through another week. And thank God, I mean this, thank God, sometimes he's that great convictor that comes along and says, now you're one of my children, and what I want to do is I want to get you to the place where you have a family resemblance. You're part of the family of God. I want you to resemble the Father. And so anything in your life that does not allow you to reflect God, the Holy Spirit of God, very patiently, aren't you glad he's patient with us? He'll come to you from time to time, and he'll draw your attention to something that you need to take care of. And you know what? The preacher, a lot of times, doesn't even have to say it. If you'll listen, the Holy Spirit will say it. Sometimes the preacher does say it. You know what the Holy Spirit says? Amen. He's talking about you right there. You need to listen. It's all right. The Holy Spirit of God just comes to us and starts dealing with us about little things in our life. Maybe it's an attitude that we have. Maybe it's a besetting sin in our life. Maybe it's a habit that's bringing, stealing from God the glory that he deserves. Maybe it's a matter of obedience. Maybe it's a matter of starting a prayer life, starting a walk with God, reading the Bible. Sometimes it's a besetting sin, as I mentioned. Maybe it's an anger problem. Maybe it's, I don't know. I can't name them all. It's not my job to name them all. What I'm saying is this, you know what? The Holy Spirit's real good about coming to us very gently, very patiently and saying, hey, there's an area of your life. And that does not reflect well upon your Heavenly Father. And so why don't we take care of that? Maybe something that you're doing that you need to stop doing. Maybe something you're not doing that you need to start doing. There are sins of commission. There are sins of omission. And God patiently begins to speak to us. Christians, let me ask you this. And again, would you listen to the voice of God? Let him help you answer this. Are you still pliable? I mean, can God come still speak to you about things and you not get your dander up? Are you still tenderhearted? I mean, can God come and point to that thing that you've been protecting for a long time and kind of built this little heart shell? Can he come and point at that and you say, okay, God, I hear you. Hey, listen, Christians, are you letting God speak to your life? Are you letting God speak to your heart? Are you hearing him? I preached a message one time on grieving the Holy Spirit of God, and I preached about how the Bible says not only can we grieve him, we can quench him in our life. And I got done preaching, and I had a Christian man come to me and say something. By the way, this happened in Pennsylvania. It happened at your dad's church, Fred Schindler's church, 20 years ago, I'll bet. And a man came to me after the service and said, preacher, I did some things out of rebellion against God 20 years ago and basically cut off the voice of God in my life. And tonight is the first time that I heard the voice of God in the past 20 years. I never forgot that. You know why he heard it? Because he decided to start listening again. He decided to make a trip to an altar. He decided to say, you know, I'm going to be honest about this thing. You know what? Communication between me and God, it's broken down. You know the old saying, I'm going to say it. You know the old saying. The old bumper sticker said, does God seem far away? Well, who do you think moved? And sometimes we want to get God, oh, I just feel like God's forsaken me. You know what? Maybe, can I just float this by you? That it's not him that's done the forsaking? Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Why do we put it on him like he's supposed to chase us all the time? Why aren't we chasing him? Then God seems far away. Then figure out where he's at and head that direction. There's something you can do about that. If there's a distance between you and God, figure out which way he is and head that direction. You know what? If you head that direction, I've always found out God's pretty gracious, pretty merciful, and like that father of the prodigal son, he'll see you coming from afar off and he'll run to meet you. But I'm going to tell you something. He waits till we start making steps in his direction. Hey, I don't even have any information for you. I'm not even sure I really have a message for you this morning because I don't know what that information and that message is. It has to come from God. This is what I felt impressed to come to the pulpit and say this morning. Let God speak. What are you facing? Let him speak. What decision are you trying to make? Let him speak. What are you battling over? Let him speak. What about eternity? Are you ready for heaven? Hear him this morning. Hear his voice this morning. Let him speak to your heart. Whatever he tells you to do, in whatever arena of life, just let him speak, listen, and obey it. And if you'll do that today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day and next week and the week after and the week after, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to live a life that is anointed with great blessing from on high. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'd ask, Lord, that you would, dear God, please speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to the young people. May they hear your voice. May they listen to it. May they understand that there's great consequences to ignoring the voice of God. May they understand what an honor and a privilege it is for God to come in power and speak. May we treat these encounters very sacredly. May we understand the importance of them. May we fear not listening, not obeying. I pray, dear God, for those that may be lost here. Please, God, please allow them to hear your voice very powerfully this morning. Speak to their hearts. Convict them of their sin. I remember what it's like to sit in a church and hear a gospel message and feel the voice of God, hear the voice of God, feel him working in my life, knowing that I needed to do something, knowing that I needed to be saved, not even maybe understanding everything, but knowing that God was dealing with my heart, speaking to my heart. Thank God for the day that I stepped out of my pew, went to the nearest aisle, came to the front, and got somebody to take the Bible and show me how to be saved. I pray, Lord, for us as Christians, dear God, because we study and we read that oftentimes it is not the lost that's ignoring the voice of God. Sadly, many times in the scriptures we see the examples that it's your own dear children that sometimes fail to hear your voice, to listen, to obey. Lord, the voice of the world is strong. The voice of the devil is deceptive. And if we're not careful, we're listening to everything and everybody except the creator of the universe, our loving God. May we hear you speak. May we hear you today. May we hear you during this invitation. May we listen this afternoon. May we come back tonight and hear. Throughout the week, may we wake up and open our Bible and say, oh God, please, I need to hear your voice. May we find those quiet times. May we turn some things off. May we not be satisfied until we hear once again your voice in our lives. God, give us, please, an obedient spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name.